I have an old friend who once wrote a book called The Pipeline of Presentations. And Ellie, if you looked at this book, it looks like the internal workings of a refinery inside. Nobody's going to go through that. You need something simple, you need something easy, easily understood, and you actually need something that will deliver the results. So initially I say, you know, my process is own the space. That's your mental situation you need to be in. And it's a very clear one. People can understand what it is. You go out there, you look at the audience, you're going to own that space. So how do you do it? I say there's four elements that you need to do, and you can break down any presentation, any talk in these. You need to do four things. You need to engage, inform, educate, and inspire.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Reimagining You, the podcast where we explore the mindsets, habits, and personal branding strategies that empower professionals to lead with purpose, stand out with presence, and build influence that lasts. I'm your host, Dr. Ellie Daher, and today's episode is a true masterclass in executive communication. Joining me today is a woman that has quite literally given voice to a global leadership. She is Etna Trainor, an international media and communication strategist, former broadcast journalist, and a trusted advisor to many CEOs. You have facilitated maybe 500 or 600 conferences, masters of ceremony. I've seen you in action in all the oil and gas, in the OPEC. You were wonderful, and you have claimed the audience, claimed the floor, or you have owned the room, as we say, right? Owned the room and managed the whole conference brilliantly. So welcome, Etna.
Well, Ellie, it's great to be here. And it's great to be here on your podcast. I mean, we've met at many conferences and in many professional environments over the years. And here we are, just the two of us. I think we've been wanting to even get together for a conversation for years. Absolutely. And it's taken this. So I'm absolutely delighted to be here with you.
Absolutely. You know, I know you for several years, but I had to do some research for the podcast, right? So I found out that you actually, which I still have that picture, by the way, you, myself, and Hala Gourani, right? So you have quoted one time on LinkedIn or somewhere that you have actually influenced Hala, and you were part of the success story for Hala, which is a former CNN anchor. Right? What can you tell me about that?
No, I'm not sure if I would have influenced Hala Gourani in any way. I mean, I think when we look at her great global status, she's more an influencer than anything else. All I did was sort of push the door open, perhaps a little bit for her. I was in a situation where I knew there was an opening at CNN, and I had talked to my sort of network, and Hala said that she would be very interested in it. So it's just the old-fashioned networking. I connected her, and the rest is history. And she's so gracious about that. I mean, she's got a few lines in the book about it. So that's so special that she's done that. And recently she was at the Emirates Literature Festival where she also talked about it. So I'm one of her biggest fans, without a doubt. Yeah.
Beautiful. We're going to talk about networking because that's an essential part of creating your own personal brand and then make it visible, right? But I want to back up a little bit at, you know, our audience, our viewers are probably executives, right? A C-suite or an executive that is working and he's in a comfort trap. He has a nice business card, has a beautiful title, has a nice company name.
Now, how do you know it's a he?
He or a she and they, all right? Very good point. So this is a typical executive, and the problem is they are in a trap. Once they leave, or they plan to leave, they become a PIP. You know what's a PIP?
Mm-mm-mm.
A previously important person, right?
I love that. I'm going to use that one.
So
I like.
They leave, they basically don't have enough name or reputation to open doors. So what we're trying to do in the personal branding and Reimagining You, and part of our mission is to give them that voice, give them that credibility, that authority. While they're working, they can build that momentum on their personal brand, so they feel more comfortable, whether they continue on in their career or whether they want to go into a greener pasture and do something. Now, with that frame of reference, a lot of these executives, when they stand and talk about in front of 100 people, 50 people, they have the stage fright. It's a lot of these people need training, need advice, how to overcome that stage fear. What can you say about that?
Well, it's certainly something that is a problem for so many people. And we're here in the podcast studios, and I just overheard some people leaving from another event. And one of the people on that was saying, how did I do? Because I was a bit nervous when I came in. And it's so true. And it's true, I think, at every level. It's getting less of a problem, I think, for a lot of executives. People are doing a lot of media training. They're a lot more aware. And also, I just think because of the internet, and because I suppose the leftover from COVID, people are getting very comfortable sitting, talking to microphones, talking directly to camera. I mean, this was not the way several years ago. So that, I think, has been a blessing for many, many people, because they are getting a lot more comfortable. But it is something that everybody has to recognize, has to tackle, do something about it, and, you know, get used to actually being on camera, because the advantages now in terms of doing your own video, having your own personal brand, far outweigh sort of sitting back in your office and just sending out press releases, for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, being in front of camera could have several angles, right? You could have a presentation, whether you're doing a business presentation, technical presentation, whether you're presenting a technical paper or any other, you know, small group, or whether you are in front of a media answering a crisis or answering something. So there are several levels of communication, and each one probably has a skill and an art connected to it. So how do people get trained on this, and how do they, you know, feel more comfortable? How do they prepare? I mean, the audience there is listening to you. And this is a kind of a masterclass. What can we tell them? How do we prepare for that, for all these events?
Well, I've been doing media training here in the region, in the Gulf region, for the last 20 years. And before that, as a journalist, I always felt I was giving a little mini masterclass in media training, often before interviews, because, you know, sometimes people were uncomfortable. I would often meet people who were great in the chat beforehand, and the minute the camera comes on, they would freeze. So, you know, I'd have to move them out of that state, because I need this interview. I need them to look good. I need to look good. The Q&A, the whole thing has to happen. You know, so I do my best to make sure that I'd help people. And even when I was a journalist, so many public relations people would ask me if I did media training, which of course I wouldn't do. That's a conflict of interest at that point in my career. But it was the one thing that I looked into as soon as I transitioned, and really saw and realized how quickly that I could actually deliver this. And the fact that, you know, I was good at it. Having been a journalist for more than 20 years, you get pretty comfortable asking questions, answering questions, being able to own the space, as I call it. Yeah. And that, I think, is the key thing that I actually, you know, make sure that I then impart to everybody else. It is, I think, getting in that mental state of own the space. You're in that position whereby you're being interviewed, or you're speaking to a crowd, whatever it is, because you have a level of expertise. So it's about sharing that expertise. So you own your space before you start. And that's what I always remind people of, because that's a huge confidence builder. The fact that you're only here because you ought to be, because you deserve it, and because the wider audience wants to listen to you. Yes. So everybody's on your side, and they want you to sound good, they want you to look good, and they want you to impart, you know, knowledge that will actually be relevant, be useful, and hopefully add value to people's lives. I mean, that's kind of what it's all about. That's why we listen to people. That's why we're interested in what people have to say, because in a way we get something from it too. So the media training, I think, is, you know, it's been quite fascinating over the last few years, because it's also shifted. It's not just about getting people ready for television or for a, you know, traditional media interview. That's changed quite a bit too.
Okay. So building on that point, I was reading a bit, preparing myself for media training. And it says, okay, well, when you present, you're not only parting knowledge, you're parting emotions. And how do you actually, you know, what's the balance between making it relevant, making emotional touching here for the audience, rather than just parting knowledge that might be, you know, absorbed 10% or 15% or forgotten in maybe a day?
Well, I mean, I can do things both ways. I could sit here and just tell you that media training is very important for executives, and it's something that I would maybe recommend for, you know, senior officials and
boring.
Blah. Yes. Or, I mean, I live this and I love this. And, you know, for me, when I do a media training, and not everybody needs a training, I think sometimes we have to change the language around there. I often talk to people about a media consulting. And even at some points when we're talking with very senior government officials or CEOs, their press people and chief of staffs will say to me, you know, they desperately need media training, but they won't do it because they feel they're above training. And of course, I mean, these are very, very senior executives. And they're right. You know, they don't really need training. What they need, I always say, is, and a client once said to me, they said, when I, you know, had asked, what do you want me to do with a very senior executive? Because they had done training before. And what he said, which was such a compliment to me, he said, I hear you're the diamond polisher.
Oh, nice.
And okay. I just absolutely love that. So sometimes it's about me coming in and taking the information you have, listening to your narrative, and really just reframing it a little bit and just polishing those edges and then delivering something spectacular. That's what I want to do. That's
Perfect.
What I hope to do. And a lot of times that's what I know I do.
And it's successful. I can see, you know, whenever you organize the panels, and I'm sure you work with some of the keynote speakers as well, and they deliver marvelous speeches. Very good. I want to put the media training and media consulting into perspective of the personal brand, just for our audience and viewers, right? So I've created the 10-step process. The first three steps are about strategy, looking at your mission ambition, looking at your unique value, what you are unique about, and finding your voice. How do you communicate with the external world about your authority, credibility, and uniqueness, right? In the context of the mission. Phase two, which is all about now going out in the open. So we have the digital media, which is LinkedIn, fixing the LinkedIn, putting posts, talking there, putting thought process into the digital area, but we have the physical arena. And this is where I think media training comes in, the physical arena, where whether you're in a conference, whether you're in a podcast, whether you are a keynote speaker, whether, you know, whatever artifact you do physically. And that's where media training, just for the context positioning of where media training is for our audience and viewers, I think this is where it slots in. So we're right on that step five in the whole process. I don't know if it makes sense to you.
No. And I love your process. And I think it fits right within there because, you know, no matter who you are, no matter what your great expertise is, you know, you're lost if people don't know about it. And nowadays we have this wonderful opportunity, and each company has the opportunity and each person has the opportunity to do what, as you say, create their own brand and to actually talk about it. The gatekeepers have been pushed out of the way. I mean, when you look back at traditional media, even getting into traditional media as a reporter, as a journalist, as a commentator, there were so many gatekeepers in place.
Yes. Yes.
You know, they're all out of the way. And then even for people, executives or experts to get on to a television broadcast or radio to talk about what was going on, there were many more gatekeepers. Yeah. So that I think is really refreshing. They're gone.
Okay.
And now people can build their own channels. They can build channels for the company, you know, for the sector, whatever it is. So this is a huge opportunity.
Yes.
And it's a huge difference, I think, that has been, you know,
Absolutely.
Shifted in the last couple of years. So people need to take advantage of that, but they need to also, you know, do it responsibly and, you know, go about it, I think, with a bit more process and a bit more strategy.
Okay.
It's not about everybody just jumping in and saying, let's all do a podcast. Why not?
Yes.
Just get it out there.
It's hard work, by the way. Doing a podcast is hard work. Trust me.
Yeah, you have a lot of work to do.
Yes.
But then suddenly everybody thinks they can do podcasts and everybody wants to be a moderator and everybody wants to be an MC. And it's suddenly, you know, the most coveted career choice in the world. I get people calling me every day going, help me to become a moderator. And I'm like, I will. But what do you do? What's your specialty? And often it's nothing.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot to look at and do that. But again, I think it's such a great opportunity for everybody now. But it does need a little bit of work. It needs a bit of planning. And there's some people doing a great job, without a doubt.
Perfect. So I'm going to cover the area where it's network, how to reach those journals, how to reach those physical conferences, and how do I get my name out and, you know, be able to be invited to talk. But first, I want to keep on drilling a bit on the actual preparation and the content. So we talked about, you know, the diamond polisher. So that's great. We mentioned a little bit during our discussion about storytelling. It looks like it's in vogue now, everybody talking about storytelling. How can an executive take a storytelling and make an impact?
Storytelling has always been in vogue.
Okay.
And I think it's so, so important. And I think sometimes, unfortunately, the corporate world loses that. People have to realize, you know, that the audience is out there and all that's on their mind, you know, I really think is when they're listening to somebody, they're sitting there and they're thinking, so what? Mm-hmm. And then the next thing they ask is, who cares?
Yes.
And so often I will tell people, like in any training, be it presentation, be it media, put two little birds on your shoulder. And when you're talking about what it is you're doing, one of them kind of goes, so what? You know, so that, you know, prompts you to give a reason why this is very important, X, Y, Z, who cares? Then you say, well, actually, this has meant, you know, energy saving, financial savings, X, Y, Z. And suddenly you've got a much stronger message and story. But also it's about making things relevant for people. The amount of times that, you know, we do interviews, and I was just reviewing some trainings that I did earlier this morning. And people have a habit of just talking about things like we're in a normal conversation. So let's say when we're talking about, you know, let's say digitalization of an industry or something. So when the reporter asks the questions about digitalization in the industry, they often have a habit of thinking they're in a normal conversation and saying things like, well, what we need to do is X, Y, Z. And, you know, this industry is no better or worse than any other. But when we do X, Y, Z, we can move it to the next level. Mm-hmm. And I think, well, what industry are you talking about? What is the next level? You know, bring it to life. Yeah. And I think everybody remembers that. And if you look back on, you know, key speeches, and I think any conversation we all have, yeah, we all go to conferences. Many of those conference sessions look the same. You do not come home at the end of the day remembering all of them, but there's definitely a few. And what it is, it's probably about the best communicators who were on it. That's what makes you remember. And the stories that were told. So bring it to life. If you have a little piece of kit that perhaps goes into a pipe to control the flow of something.
Bring it, show it,
you know,
see how it
works. It sounds like a small technical little thing. But actually, you know, the story on that is how that will, you know, prevent the flow. If the flow moves,
yes,
it will. I'm gone into sort of more the engineering side of it. But if that goes wrong, then the flow adjusts. And if that goes very wrong, there's a big explosion. There's,
yes,
that. So then people realize, aha, you, yeah, know, so the impact of that. So just bring it to life and tell people maybe the worst that could happen, that'll wake them up a little bit, or the best that'll happen. But you, yeah, need to make that engagement there where people can remember.
Yeah, yeah. I like that. The so what and who cares, right? The two birds on the shoulder. And so knowing your audience is also another angle that you might need to work, because you probably gear up your presentation or your message based on the audience. So if you have a small audience of 10, 15, 20, you know the type, so you can gear the message towards either a C-suite or a,
exactly,
technical or
that's
whatever.
That's the easy stuff.
One. However, when you have 200 or 500 sitting in a big and you're delivering a note, it's very difficult to know your audience. Now, you have these two things in here, right? The so what and who cares. I think the third one, with what's in it for them,
yes,
right? So how do you manage, and what is the key message I want to give to the presenter or the, you know, one of the viewers and the audience, and when they talk to a large audience?
Well, I would always say to people, don't get, you know, over complicated with this concept of know your audience. We've read it forever. Everybody's like, how do you know your audience? I mean, we've all been at conferences. You and I have often been at the same conference. You need something different from the speaker. speaker than I will need.
Of course.
So, you know, sometimes I say, just ease off on, you're not going to be able to identify. So I think loosens and frees people up a little bit when they're not obsessed with going, okay, I have to target this. So there will be different people in the audience. There will be highly qualified technical people that will know more than you and I. Yeah. There will be people on the same level. There will be technical people who understand the jargon that you're talking about. There will be salespeople that maybe won't understand it. There will be just people interested in your industry that need more clarification. Mm-hmm. So in many ways, you have to be all things to all people. And to do that, I think the bottom line is to bring it down to, you know, a level of simplicity, but not dumbing it down to a point, you know, where you're quite condescending. That's not what it's about. But keep it simple. And also, how many times do we speak to an English-only language audience?
Yeah, especially with a multicultural environment everywhere now, pretty much,
so
right?
So easy on the sort of complicated language and all of that. Just speak plain English the way everybody can understand you. And I think that's the key thing, making sure that your message is clear. I have a 4-step process. I'll share that with you in a minute.
Very good. Well, actually, it's a good opportunity now, because I was going to ask you, so how do a person, let's say I'm going to ask Aetna to train me or consult me on media training. What is the process?
Over the past 20 years, and I suppose even when I was being a journalist, the one thing I've always sort of looked for is that engagement. I mean, that I think is absolutely essential. But the more I thought about it, how can I package this up so people can find something really easy? I have an old friend who once wrote a book called The Pipeline of Presentations. And Ellie, if you looked at this book, it looks like the internal workings of a refinery inside. Nobody's going to go through that. You need something simple, you need something easy, easily understood, and you actually need something that will deliver the results. So initially I say, you know, my process is own the space. That's your mental situation you need to be in, and it's a very clear one. People can understand what it is. You go out there, you look at the audience, you're going to own that space. So how do you do it? I say there's 4 elements that you need to do, and you can break down any presentation, any talk in these. You need to do 4 things. You need to engage, inform, educate, and inspire.
Nice.
Now, if you do these 4 things in that order, because they also flow well in that order, you're going to own the space. It's simple and it works.
Can you give me a sentence on each?
Absolutely. So your ultimate aim is to own the space.
Yes.
What we see in many presentations are inform and educate.
Okay.
People are pretty good at that.
True.
Most presentations are inform, educate, and then they say, and if you need any more information.
And if you have any questions or need information, goodbye.
How many times have you seen that, right?
Oh, yeah.
So that's the one we know and maybe don't love. Mm-hmm. So the concept of engage, I mean, I think it's so, so important. It's there to get people's attention. And I mean, when you think of it, we all know how to do it. I always say we engage from the cradle to the grave.
Okay.
And you just think back, you know, on how do children manipulate you? You know, they know what to do. They know how to engage.
Of course.
We all know how to engage to just get attention. And we all want to get that attention. So, you know, take my example of the little piece of kit that's in the pipe with the flow of whatever it is. Now, you know, the engagement on that might be to think that there have been, you know, so many unnecessary, unfortunate explosions that have happened because of all of this. And people are thinking, wow, really? So you can engage on a very positive element or you can engage on a negative.
Or a personal story or a grabber of some numbers.
Yeah, but it wakes them up. Exactly.
Yes.
Something that wakes people up and that makes them think, gosh, is it that big? Is it that challenging? Are we really in that much trouble? What are we going to do? And then, you know, you move on to inform the way you're going to tell them, you know, what you need to do.
Okay.
If you look at the concept of inform, that can be, you know, it can be quite challenging, actually. It can be, you know, if I announce just what I'm going to do, you might not be comfortable with that. So I always say it's a point of conflict sometimes. So you would always engage before you inform.
Okay.
Because if I engage with you, now you're interested. You want to hear something more. So you almost have given me the permission to move to the next step, inform.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I can tell you what I'm doing, and I can tell you how we don't have to live with that scary sort of place, that I have a solution.
Okay.
But then I need to educate you, because you mightn't be a first adapter. You know, you might need to know.
Skeptical, yes. Might it work, you know.
You want to know that what I've got in mind, you don't want to know it works.
Yes, of course.
You want to know that, you know, you're not the first guinea pig that's out there that's going to happen. So therefore, the fact that it works, that somebody else has adopted it.
Yeah.
And we've really seen genuine practical applications on this. And you're thinking, wow, okay, because I have proof and I have proof points to deliver that to you, that what I've just told you about actually works.
Okay.
And then that's fine. But then I need to inspire you.
Okay.
Because that, if I leave it there after giving you the education saying, and then if you want any more detail, well, da-da-da.
I'll send you the brochure.
And then you've sort of gone, oh, okay, is that it? But yeah. That inspiration has to come then, I think, many ways. Telling you what's in it for you, as in if you use this product, service, whatever, the benefits that it's going to give you.
Okay.
You're going to save money. You're going to save time. It's going to promise you eternal youth. That's going to do whatever it is. But I need something that's going to inspire you. And it could also be that call for action. That says, if you don't come on board with me now, you know, look at what you're going to miss out on.
Yeah.
But because I brought you into, you know, my realm of sort of comfort where I've engaged, informed, educated, and inspired, you're with me.
Yes.
And you're like going, ready, let's
beautiful.
Go.
Beautiful.
And the simplicity of this is just so wonderful. Engage, inform, educate, inspire, own the space. And how are you going to remember that, Ali?
I'm going to remember that by just practicing it.
But I'll give you another quick way to remember, just in case you forget which one goes
yes.
where. It goes E-I-E-I-O.
And yeah, everybody sang that song when they were kids.
And
or,
everybody can yeah. sing it and everyone can remember the
very
E-I-E-I-O.
Nice.
Yeah,
very nice.
It works.
And I know you shared with me you have an online course. On that media training, right? Does it cover these four?
All of this.
Perfect.
In fact, when I made that online course, people told me there was too much in there. There was too much in there. I'm giving away everything.
Okay.
But no, the online course is really good. It actually helps people get all the theory done. But then, particularly in media training, and that's why I tend to do smaller groups. When I do media training, I don't do a big auditorium full of people because it's so personal. The only way you're going to learn is get the theory done and then we sit down and we do it one-on-one.
That's
and then
the
we,
best practice, yeah, right? Practice
we play
makes
it
perfect.
Back. You know, we critique every little bit of it. You can see what you should have said, what you didn't say, how you say things. Because we want it to look like a normal conversation.
Yes.
But every media interview has a few little rules of its own.
Okay.
You know, every soundbite needs to stand on its own. So okay. If I'm talking about the construction industry or the entertainment industry, I should not answer you by saying, you ask me maybe where do you see the progress of the industry? My answer should not be the industry is already performing very well and we've seen a lot of shift. No, my answer should be the outlook for the entertainment industry is XYZ.
Okay.
So you have to actually put more language into it to make sure that each piece can stand alone.
Stand on its own. Okay, very nice.
There's little tricks like that.
Yeah.
That's a bit of fun.
Would you mind if I share the online training link on a comment at the end of the episode?
No, by all means. And, you know, I'm more than happy to connect with people work with them and see what we can
very
do to
good.
Help them.
Excellent. So the last bit of our podcast here, this is where I struggle the most, right? I want to be on TED Talk. I want to be a keynote speaker. I want to go into a panel. I don't know how. Nobody's going to take me or nobody's taking me and I don't know where to do and how do I reach people. I want to publish an article in Forbes. I don't know. How can I get started?
Well, there's a few different ways you can get started on that. And there's one of the old tried and tested ways, as in hire a public relations consultant.
Okay.
And there are plenty of them around. And more than ever, there are plenty of independent public relation consultants who can actually just work in your niche and actually help you to develop. So it's not about taking on $1 million project to actually move forward. So yes, but that is a way that then you have to allocate a budget and do that. I mean, what you're doing, you're well on the way. I think that's what's important. You have to find your niche. I think that's what's very, very important also. And the more you talk about what you're doing, the more you build your own audience, people begin to see that.
Okay.
And that then influences conference producers who are looking for good speakers. They're also, and they all look at each other's conferences, whether we like it or not.
Okay.
Everybody likes to think they've got the best speaker. And of course they do, but everyone's out there looking at who's speaking at other conferences. And now because there's so much live streaming, they can actually listen to them.
Okay.
So every time you do a podcast, you're almost doing an audition.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And it's a lovely way to look at it. And that's what I even say to people when, you know, they're doing interviews and that. Think about this. Okay, you're not doing a sales pitch, but just think about who is out there that might be listening and who actually could be impacted by what you say.
Okay.
And the same when, you know, you're in the job market. Now, I'm not saying to everybody do more because you're looking for a new job, but actually it's, again, the same thing that people will see. They'll see how people respond, how they react. And communication now, I think it's up there as probably number one in terms of building credibility and being able to deliver. Yes, you have to be qualified to do your job, but if you're not a good communicator to go with that, and that is the same for CEOs, for government officials. For the most part, we're seeing much better communicators out there in the corporate world today than we ever saw. Because it is absolutely essential that you be a strong communicator. So get your brand out there. You're doing the podcast. I haven't got around to doing a podcast yet. I should. And I will. It's in the works. But luckily for me, my excuse is I'm busy. Now, that's not a bad excuse.
So I guess key takeaway from this message is I should open to the audience and the viewers an application process. If you want to be on my podcast and own 1 hour of your voice in front of the camera, I'm accepting applications.
There you go. Yeah, because you're bringing out, I think, you know, in terms of the reimagining what people are doing, and everybody's shifting career. The whole world is so dynamic at the minute, and everybody actually has to do this.
But I want to add a couple of points here on shifting career, whether you stay in your lane of your job and you're growing within your company, or shifting career, because studies, I've read quite a bit of credible studies that if a C-suite person or CEO, whatever, has a higher value in a personal brand, actually the company benefits because they could address other customers, and customers relate to, you know, to companies that have higher brands in terms of the C-suite. So there is a value, an investment from companies into their C-suite to create and engage more on the personal branding for their C-suite for their own benefit. So if the person is looking at growing within their organization, this is a great value. But also if he's or she's thinking of moving and switching to another company, definitely if you have a stronger personal brand, you are more likely to land a good job at a higher pay than a person with very little personal brand. Do you agree?
I absolutely agree with you. The concept, Ellie, of a personal brand is something that it's rather new. I mean, if you look back on what you need to do to be a good corporate leader, it probably was not there 10 years ago. So now it has been there without a doubt. And I think the people who pay attention to that, you know, are the winners in this. Building that personal brand, of course, you know, as you said, being a spokesperson, not just for the company, but for the sector.
Yes.
For that also, you know, almost 10-year old phrase, thought leadership and building that. I mean, all of this is so important now. You become the very credible person that somebody will go to and, you know, look for opinion. And it's just so important. Mm. And it is all about basic communication, which we all know how to do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the good thing. We all have the foundation. But then it's just about, I think, stylizing it and making sure that it works for you, it works within your company, within your sector, and actually builds on the credibility that you've put so much time and effort and education and expertise into.
Yeah.
So owning the space that I like to say, but owning the personal brand will certainly also help you to own that space.
Perfect. Network. You're the master of network. You have probably 10,000 people around your network that know Aetna by name, know Aetna what she's good at, and they solicit you because you created that network. I'm coming here with maybe 5,000 followers on LinkedIn, and I have a little sphere of network. How do I grow my network?
Again, growing your network is about being present. Okay. Being present, being visible, being vocal.
Okay.
So I think the way you're going about it and, you know, looking at people who've had presence over the years, particularly, you know, on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is certainly one that you can move on very, very quickly. But it's about putting your opinion out there. I think you're building this concept of personal branding from the corporate world into something very powerful. I think people that will resonate with people and people will be interested in it. Not alone do you have your podcast, you have your book.
Yes.
So also, I think this is very important. Be visible out there at conferences, talk to conference organizers. And again, yes, just solicit them. Some will want you, some will not. But you've been on many panels in your day.
Yes.
You need to perhaps get some video footage of that now and actually hold that and make yourself a little, almost a little reel that, you know, we would as reporters and that do our little show reel.
Okay.
I think now everybody almost needs that show reel to actually show what's
that. That's a good point.
And again, it's just so easy to just, you know, put that link to conference producers and that whereby they can look and watch. Yes, you're going to itemize some of the great work you've done.
Yeah.
But when they can see you on stage, they can listen to you. They know you're a good speaker. They know you know what you're talking about. You know, then it should be a no-brainer.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea. Thank you. I'm sure your journey has some mistakes, some lessons that you learned the hard way. Can you share one?
I think one lesson, if I have to look back and think, what would I have done differently, would not hang around too long for things to shift and move.
Okay.
My television career tended, I think, to go in spurts of like 5 years at different companies. And I probably didn't need to spend 5 years at each company. It hasn't done me, you know, any damage, quite honestly, because I still have ABC News, Sky News, Bloomberg, CNBC, BBC. So it's not a bad sort of golden resume in that sense. But I probably could have moved a little faster. But I think many of us sit around, you know, doing a great job. And the danger of doing a great job sometimes is people are very happy with you doing a great job.
Yeah.
So again,
and they want to keep you.
They want to keep you there. So I think it's also about taking that ownership of your career and actually realizing, you know, it's not always ask not what you can do for your company, but what your company can do for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, make sure it's a win-win at all times. Yeah. And, you know, if it's not happening and if it's not win-win constantly, then maybe you have to start thinking, what do I do and how do I change it? But own that control. I think that's the advice that I'd look back on and say, I could have moved it a bit faster.
Yeah. And if I can relate to that, I think I always tell people, companies give you a job, you own your career, right?
So, yeah. And some people don't realize that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they're sitting around waiting.
The company is their career, right?
Yes, so, yes. And they're waiting and expecting for the company to give them the next opportunity.
Yeah, yeah. Parting notes for the audience and the viewers. A word of advice.
A word of advice from me comes to each and everybody, I think, to, you know, wake up every day and fully own the space.
Okay.
In terms of everything you do. And while I talk about engage, inform, educate, inspire as a process for presentations and communication, it's actually almost it could be your daily mantra.
Yes.
You know, and then at the end of the day, check back in and go, you know, who have I engaged, informed, educated, and inspired today? And maybe if you missed out on one of them, you know, just put a little note to do better tomorrow.
You know, you can use it with your employees, with your team, with your family, maybe. You know?
Yes, oh, absolutely.
I mean, can this apply across the board? That's wonderful. That's excellent. Aetna, we come to the end of the podcast. This was wonderful. Thank you for sharing the wisdom, inspiring our people, the viewers and the audience. And hopefully they'll take media at heart and they benefit from that short podcast, yet it's very powerful. Thank you again.
Well, it's been great to be here. Thank you so much, Ellie.
Okay. I hope this podcast has inspired you and has put you on the way to create and communicate your personal brand. If you like this episode, please subscribe and watch for the next one. We are weekly on at 5 o'clock every Thursday, Dubai time. Thank you again and goodbye. Thanks for listening to Reimagining You. If you enjoyed the episode, follow the show, leave a review, and share it forward. See you next week with a new episode. Keep reimagining you.